come with your questions. It's been a while since we looked at Romans. We go back, but for anyone under the age of 40, can I get the key verse for the book of Romans? Or verses for the book of Romans? Anyone under the age of 40, 0, 40. That's not a whole lot, right?
No.
Romans
1:16-17.
Romans 1:16-17. Can someone quote it? Anyone? Stand. It's the word of God. Stand.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. 17.
We're in it. Just as it is written. Amen. Amen. I gotta give it to. I'll give it to Haley. Yeah. She is kind of a daughter to me, but she doesn't have a different last name. For I do this every time. I do this right, and there's a reason. Because the more we do it, the more we remember it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, you notice for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So I divide the book of Romans, like all the apostles of John and Paul's epistles to the churches, always divide into two sections, doctrine and discipline, or teaching and training, or whatever. And they divide at what chapter? In the book of Romans. Back here. Romans 12, very good. Somebody's paying attention. Romans 12 divides the chapter. So all of Romans 1 through 11 is from faith. It is revealed from faith. It's talking about how to become a believer. It's all about faith. It's all about believing. God's grace is bestowed on the believer, on those who believe, who receive Christ as their Savior. I remember in the book of John, we're always looking for what words John uses to illustrate what it means to believe. And there he said, to receive, lambano, to receive, lambano. Now we're in the sections on discipline, on what I need to do, changes in my life, changes in my life. So it's about action. It's about changing in attitude, changing in actions. This is the two faith, because the Christian life, once you become a believer, the Christian life is about believing, trusting God in all the things He said, trusting Him in everything. I remember a time when Stephen was young and was in his terrible twos, I guess it was. And I come home from work, and Karen is just desperate. Because Stephen has been difficult that day. So I asked her, I said, how many spankings did he get? And she looked at me with this, okay. Tomorrow, first time he acts up, you give him a spanking. The word of God, he will not die. Believe me, he will not die. Karen carried a spoon in her purse. He will not die. The next day, I come home from work, and I'm very anxious. I was Stephen today. Stephen was an absolute angel. I did what you said. No, you did what God said. I did what you said. First time he misbehaved, I spanked him. He was an angel the rest of the day. Okay. Believe in God's word. Don't believe all the PhDs and all the SVGs and everything else out there. God's word is more solid than any professor. Certainly more solid than me. I'm not a PhD, but I am a master's degree. So, all right. Doctrine and discipline. From faith to faith. All right. And then chapter 12. We finished chapter 12. This is a tough one. Three questions. Chapter 12 divides into three sections. So quick, go through, look at the outline. Divides into three sections, chapter, verses 1 and 2. Then I think it's verses 3 through 8, is it? Yes, 3 through 8 and then 9 through 21. Three different sections. Okay? Can someone give me one of the three sections?
Behave like a Christian.
Well, that is very true. And if you look at your Ryrie, that's probably what he has up there.
But, spiritual gifts.
Huh?
Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts was one of them.
I got the chocolate.
Oh, yeah, you can't answer. Spiritual gifts was the third one. Second one. Spiritual gifts was the second one. All right. It is tough. Oh, the gospel outline. Crap. I got copies of the gospel outlines up here. Highly encourage you. So this week, I had to go in for a crown on my tooth, and the assistant there, we got to talking, and the dentist asked me, "What do you know? You got plans for this weekend? You doing anything fun this weekend?" I said, "Yeah, I'm studying. I'm speaking on Sunday, so I'm studying the Book of Romans." And the dentist asked me, "Romans? Okay, that's a letter to the Church of Rome, right?" Very good. Yes. So that, who wrote that again? So he needs to come and do some of my questions, right? Paul did. Okay. Was that before or after Jesus and the cross and all that thing? So anyway, so I get he leaves and I'm getting to talk with the assistant, and she's saying, you know, she goes to church. She goes to church, and now her boyfriend is going to church. She got her boyfriend going, and she's got friends going to church. I say this only because of this. Understand something. Coming to church does not mean you're saved. You understand? Coming to church, I mean, I'm glad you're here. I am, really. But coming to church isn't what saves you. This church isn't going to save you. No. I can't save you. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And it's you accepting Jesus as your Savior. The gospel outline is a tool, just a tool. It's all about the Word of God. It's a tool, how to take the Word of God and share it with people. So I put up there the first, the five major points of the gospel outline. Offer needed, or offer made, offer needed, offer is just, offer accepted, offer rejected. Each of these comes with three minor points, I believe. And each point comes with two verses, one usually from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. It is a tool for being able to go through the gospel with an individual and share with them. Offer is made. What is the offer? Eternal and abundant life. You know, so you learn anything. I have copies up here. I want to encourage you to come up, take copies. I want to encourage you to memorize the outline. That helps you go through. It's a logical process. Go through a logical process. Offer is made. You make the offer to receive Christ. Coming to church isn't going to do it. You make the offer of receiving Christ as your Savior. Offer is made. Offer is needed. Offer is just. The person of Christ, the God-man. Okay. And then you have offer must be accepted. Okay. If you don't accept the offer, God is out there offering you salvation, but you don't accept the offer. That's what's meant, by the way, by John saying to as many as received him, lambano. You get up out of your seat and you come take hold of lambano. That's what it means. So the offer must be accepted. And what happens if you reject? You keep pushing off. Maybe someday. It's a lake of fire. So the gospel is just a tool, but it may help you. And I use it all the time. I used to use it all the time on the train going up to San Francisco. All right, so gospel of salvation. This is from faith to faith. This was the last one you could see up there. Toward God, toward the body of Christ. That was chapter 12. Chapter 12 divides into three. That's toward God, toward the body of Christ, and toward the body of Christ as individuals. Okay, and now we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit, that's toward the body of Christ as a body here. That's kind of the entity we are, a part of the body of Christ, but then it looks at my life with my focus on individuals in the body. But now we're looking at chapter 13. Chapter 13 divides into two. In nuclear, when you do training, and you're having to deal with a bunch of gray hats. You don't know what a gray hat is, don't worry about it. You're dealing with a bunch of gray hats and you're teaching them something, you want them to memorize, you do that. Okay? And then they know, okay, I gotta pay attention to this part. Toward worldly government, we're gonna look at that, toward worldly government, and then toward worldly neighbors. That's what we're focusing on today. Well, let's take a look now. Now, I'm gonna turn on the microphone, because I gotta let them know here. Everybody, turn the microphone on. Move it up here. I guess it was on. There we go. I think it was on. Oh well. Then you heard my tone. I think he was doing the thing in the back of the part. Alright, let's look at chapter 13 together. As typical, I'll read through and then we'll go back and look in detail. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God for you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there are any other commandments, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love the Lord, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. For the night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to his lust. All right, again, dividing 7 and 7, 7 verses toward worldly government, my attitude, my changing my attitudes, my actions toward worldly government and toward my neighbors. So let's look into detail again. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And do you believe this? You ripped this section out of your Bible? You know, sometimes it's hard to understand this. I mean, some of you maybe didn't appreciate previous administration. Maybe you don't appreciate the administration now. Do you understand what this is saying? No authority. There is no authority on earth except from God. Think of some examples, if you will. Just think of Jesus, for example. He's in front of Pilate. Pilate says to him,
You do not speak to me. This is in John chapter 19. You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you? And I have authority to crucify you. And Jesus' response, you would have no authority over me unless it be given you from above. Do you understand? So when you stand before government, you understand you have no authority except God gave you that authority. And Jesus respected Pilate. When Jesus was before the Sanhedrin, he respected the Sanhedrin. When Jesus was before Annas, the high priest, he respected Annas, the high priest. Remember when they're going in Capernaum, I think it is, and they come to Peter and say, does your master pay the temple tax? Peter says, well, yeah, of course. And Jesus says to him, says to Peter, Peter, the owners of the house, do their children pay taxes? Well, no. So who pays taxes? Well, strangers, yes. Right. Nevertheless, Jesus said, nevertheless, so that they have no argument. And he gives Peter the direction to go out to the sea, drop a hook, pull in the fish. So in other words, it's my Father's house, the temple. Nevertheless, I'll pay the tax. You see? This is hard. I need to change my attitude toward government. I hate paying taxes. They abuse the taxes. You know that. I know that. God says, you pay taxes, your taxes will pay. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, Daniel is speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's revealing the king's dream. And he says this, it is he that is God. It is he who changes the times and epochs. He removes kings and he establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to men of understanding. There is no authority except for God. Peter. When Peter was arrested, they beat him. They slugged him with a fist. That's what it meant. They slugged him with a fist. And they told him, do not preach in the name of Jesus. Peter goes out and preaches in the name of Jesus. Wait a minute, Peter. I'm supposed to hear a second story. They bring Peter back in. Say, we told you not to. Note Peter's response. He doesn't tell them, forget you. He doesn't tell them, no, I'm going to do what God says. Peter says, you tell me what I should do. Obey the word of men or obey the word of God. Now, he's talking to religious leaders. Peter is shrewd. You're talking to these people. They're not going to return you and say, forget what God says. Do what we say. No. He puts them in their place. But, nevertheless, Peter submitted himself to their authority. You see that? Puts them in jail. Peter doesn't resist. He doesn't fight. Stephen didn't fight when they stoned him. Instead, what he said was, Father, forgive him. Even Paul, thrown in prison, doesn't react with objection. He sits in the prison and sings his praise. For worldly government. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the word of God. And those who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. You see it in the news, there's all kinds of resistance against authority today. All kinds. A Christian should not. Christian should not. Pay attention to the words. He who resists, he who opposes. Notice something in there. Therefore, whoever resists, resist authority, and the other one opposes. They who oppose. In the first case, authority is acting and you're resisting it. You see that? Authority is acting and you're resisting it. But in the second case, they have opposed. Who's the they and who are they opposing? They are the same ones who were resisting before. Now they're opposing, but they're opposing the ordinance of God. If you're a Christian today, you're resisting authority. That's a defensive move, as it were. You're putting up a wall. No, you can't. You're opposing. That's an attack. Word. You're opposing the ordinance of God. Of course, I'm speaking to myself as well. It is the arrogant Christian who is opposing ordinance of God. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. You want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise. Thanks. Okay. So is this always the case? Look at it. I mean, really look at it. Is this always the case? For rulers are not a cause for fear for good. So the rulers threw Paul in prison for what? The rulers crucified Jesus for what? Peter in prison. Sometimes we have rulers who are difficult. Sometimes we have rulers who are difficult. Understand the meaning of the word good here, for good behavior. You and I look at good behavior and you think God's definition of good. There's also the authority's definition of good. You see the difference?
Here.
Is it telling me to do what God says is good? Well, and sometimes you will have reason to fear it. If you were in Islam, or if you were in an Islamic country, sharing the word of God on a corner, you might have reason to fear. You might have reason to fear. Do what is good. I believe what's talking about here is in the eyes of the government. Now again, it's very important to understand. There are the two. Peter was one of those who was in a situation where the government was telling him to do exactly the opposite of what God had told him. In that situation, Peter responds with, you tell me what I should do. What you say and what God says. It was very clear, I have to do what God says. I'll take the punishment. For example, in this country right now, it's not illegal to preach, you know, God's view on homosexuality. One day it might. So what do I do? Do I preach God's view on homosexuality, or do I do what is good? I do what God tells me. I do what God tells me, and I take whatever consequence the government gives. And if that's my life, because it's an ordinance of God. It's an ordinance of God. The difficulty we have is trying to find where I can do this good, but also God's good. How can I do that? That's a tough thing sometimes. Beloved, if you find yourself in a situation where you can't see that point, how can I do God's will? How can I do what is right with God? But that is okay, at least, with the government. The government's not going to get mad. How can I sit there? You have God giving you elders, God giving you some gray hairs in the room here. Come and talk with some of us. Maybe we can help you with an idea of how to do it. If it finally comes down to, no, I have to do this. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I had a friend when I was a young believer, a young man, single. One of the other young men, a believer, he was from, well, it doesn't matter where he's from. He was a believer. He was a little bit wild. a very fine believer, but a little crazy. So he would go into a bar. He would go into a bar, stand there in the middle of the room, and say, "Y'all going to hell." He was usually escorted out of the bar rather brusquely and usually with some blood on his shirt. Okay. There's doing the will of God and doing it smartly. Okay? Sometimes, you know, so you understand it. Look for the good. Look for how can I do what God wants. I love what Ali said once. I'll bring in Ali. I love what Ali said once. Earn the right to, what was it, the phrase he said? To irritate. And he had a different word. Earn the right to irritate. Because Christ irritates. Christ irritates. But I need to earn the right to irritate with my neighbors. I need to earn the right. For it is a minister of God for your good. Do you see that? It, that's government. Our American government, we're here living in America today, our American government is a minister of God for my good. It was a minister of God for my good when Biden wasn't president. I find it hard, but nevertheless, God's word, it was a minister of God for my good when Obama was president. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. If you do what's wrong, be afraid. If you're here illegally, be afraid. You get it? Do what is good. Do what is good. And yields doing what is good. Be afraid, for it does not bear the sword. That's the proper way you pronounce it, by the way. Sword. Sword. All right. Does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but for conscience' sake. Not only for wrath, not only fear of the government, but also inside you know God's told you to do what's right. God's told you to do what's right. For conscience sake, do according to what God says. For because of this you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Memorize this verse. Render to all what is due. Tax, to whom taxes are due. Is Jesus Christ watching over you when you fill out your taxes? Taxes are due. You don't like a lot of the abuse of taxes? That's not your department. God will deal with that. You pay your taxes. Tax, to whom taxes are due. Custom. Custom would be fees or costs, like you're going to get into a concert. Yeah. Hey, a friend's telling you, hey, you come through here and you get through and you're cracking the wall and you won't have to pay the price. No, you pay the custom to whom custom is due. You pay custom to whom custom is due. So you walk out of the supermarket, and you realize, well, she didn't ring this up. Hey, I got it for free. So you pay custom. That's what that is. Fear. To whom fear is due. The police officer. You fear him. It doesn't mean terrify. It means you respect him. He comes up to you. This guy puts his life on the line, by the way, with the uniform. He comes up to you. You treat him with respect. You treat him with respect. The police officer. The military. Fireman. Anyone having authority, you treat him with respect and honor to whom honor is due, such as a political figure, president, vice president, a judge, a mayor, a high priest, by the high priest. And I believe the high priest slapped Paul. Paul responds to him, God will slap you. Someone says, do you not understand this as a high priest? But some people say that Paul's response was kind of a mocking. Doesn't seem like any high priest to me. But I think Paul recognized. Paul wasn't sinless. Don't ever make that mistake. I think Paul recognized. I spoke inappropriately to a high priest. I didn't know real high priest, high priest. Honor to whom honor is due. Alright. Owe nothing to anyone except love one another. Alright. Very important. I did go to a number of Bill Gothard seminary. Bill Gothard had some interesting views. Don't worry about it. This is not talking about borrowing money. That's not what that's about. It's not about borrowing money. Bill Gothard had a view that a Christian should never borrow money. A Christian who borrows money is saying basically God's not going to provide me something. I don't hold that view. This is not talking about it. If you hold that view, that's fine. If you hold the view of not borrowing money, that you won't fall into what's called a surety. Okay. You shouldn't go into surety. And you can come talk to me later. No, this is talking about when somebody is demanding something from you. They've got something. Hey, you owe me something. That's what it's talking about. You know, you pay your mortgage, fine, you pay your mortgage. You decide, I'm not paying. Paying. You know, you did the work, but I'm not paying. Yeah, we have fourth and last. This is talking about owe nothing, but notice this. Accept the love of one another. Isn't that a different view? Do you see that? Isn't that a different view? That I read that for the first time this past couple weeks. So with me, this is telling me my attitude toward my neighbor should be I owe you love. That's the neighbor that I don't like. The neighbor on this side, I like this side. No. No, I owe him love. How can I, and by the way, when you see that word love, always ask yourself, how can I show this love? Not good enough to, yeah, I love him. Never talk to him. Yeah. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, if you have King James does insert, many of later manuscripts insert, you shall not bear false witness. That's okay. Basically, the Ten Commandments, are, how many commandments in the Ten Commandments? There are ten. Let me show you a hint. They divide into five and five, by the way. They divide into five and five. Five Godward, five manward. Okay? Five Godward. And that's why the Ten Commandments are all collapsed into two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your mind. And the second, like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? The first five, the second five. You shall love your neighbor. So Paul is basically saying, yeah. All of those are capsulized in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's chapter 5-10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. All those wrongs, including, of course, the one he mentions here, if there are any other, he knows about it. Lying. Defrauding. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, do this. Do what? Do this. Government and to my neighbor. Government and my neighbor. Do this knowing the time. Notice this. It is already the hour for you to be awakened. The alarm clock is long gone. My alarm clock has rung, finally died, ran out of battery juice, and you're still sleeping. That's what the impression here is. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be asleep. For the alarm clock has rung. Get up! Get up! It is time for you to awaken from your sleep now. Salvation is nearer today. than when we believe. What salvation is that? Remember, there are three tenses to salvation. I have been saved. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. I am being saved today. Today, I am being saved from the power of sin. Tomorrow, I will be saved from the presence of sin. If you haven't remembered, go memorize those three. This one's talking about the future. It's talking about the day of Christ. It's talking about the return of Christ in the air. It's like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The return is imminent. The return is imminent. And it is more imminent today than the day you first believed. It is imminent. For now, salvation from the presence of sin, salvation from this world, salvation from the wrath to come. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour to be awakened. The night is almost gone. So the alarm clock is gone, but it's still dark out. The night is almost gone, but the day is near. That day is the day of Christ. That day is the day when He shall call you, and you shall be transformed. Thessalonians, you shall be transformed. The dead shall rise, and those alive and remain shall be gathered up with Him. And we shall go and be ever with the Lord. The night is almost gone. So, again, do this. Behave this way toward government. Behave this way toward your neighbor, knowing fully that the time is real close. The time is, therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. Remember John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shone in the darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. I like the word really means the darkness could not overcome it. When you go into a dark room, it is dark. It is absolutely dark. And you bring in a light, all the darkness flees. All the darkness runs in the darkness. I won't go into the illustration. That's what John was talking about. Darkness cannot overcome light. Light overpowers darkness. Always overpowers darkness. So put on the armor of light. I need to be putting on that armor of light every day. Every day. That's what it means by being saved from the power of sin in my life. Putting on the armor of light. Paul would also call it the armor of God. Putting on the armor of God. That's a daily, every day. Every once in a while, I got to check my armor, right? Every once in a while, oh, lost that. Let's put that back on. The deeds of darkness. Let it behave properly, as in the day. The day isn't here yet, but we should be behaving like the day, not the night. Not in the carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity. Not in sensuality. Not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord. Now, put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There used to be a saying, I don't know if it's popular anymore, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? In other words, put on Jesus means behave as Jesus would want me. In every situation. Do I do that? No, I'm sorry, I don't, but I should. Okay. And when that comes to my attention, I need to repent, say, Lord, sorry, I did it again. One of my worst ones is anger. I get angry so fast, so easy. I need to work on that. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to his lust. Beloved, what is it? You know, many of us, I won't say all of us, many of us have a sin that continually gets a hold of us. Make no provision of the flesh. Memorize that verse. Make no provision of the flesh. Is it pornography? And that's something that gets you down. It tears at you. Constantly drags you back into the world. Constantly drags you back into the darkness. Make no provision if you're good. Is it alcohol? You got that bottle stashed away somewhere? You need to get rid of it. Can't tell you how much it costs to keep getting rid of it. Get rid of it. Continue to get rid of it. I've fallen again, Lord. Get rid of it. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Could be food, candy. I'm the one that buys the candy in the house. Make no provision for the flesh. All right, real quick, as we close, but attitudes and actions, I like this, this one kind of a summary going through this thing. I look at attitudes are things I need to change that are internal. My attitude, internal. And then actions are things I need to do. Okay? So the internal and the external. I need to be subject to government. I need to, whether you like this government or not today, and you may not like the government next week, it's not a question. There have been good governments, there have been bad governments. Daniel, being under Nebuchadnezzar was not a blessing. And Darius was worse. But Daniel respected. Daniel, I love the way Daniel responded to the king. Live long. Sometimes if we have a president, I really don't want to live long. Yeah, I hear that chuckle. No, be subject to it. Love my neighbor. I need to love my neighbor. Again, that's an internal thing that should show external. An internal, God demonstrates, we ought to be demonstrating our love. In the armor of light, I need to be putting on that armor of light daily. Some of us need it hourly. Recheck my armor. How's that chink in the armor looking? So those are the attitudes I pulled out of this thing. And then actions. Do what is good. Do what is good. Good, again, you definitely want to be doing what's good in the eyes of God. But look to see what's good in the eyes of the government. Do that. Render. Government, the vendors, the police, military fear, the politicians, etc., priests, honor. No wrong to a neighbor. Treat your neighbor with respect. Treat your neighbor well. They may not respond properly to you. It doesn't matter. I love what my dad once told me. That Skip, and for you young men, Skip, how a man treats a woman is not a reflection on a woman. It's a reflection on a man. You hear that? I mean, it doesn't matter what the woman's like. Treat her like a gentleman. Well, you do no wrong to your neighbor, whether the neighbor is good or the neighbor aren't so good. And then lay aside things in darkness. Lay aside things with darkness. How about that? Turn on time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank you again so much. For those of us who own salvation in Christ Jesus, we put our faith in Jesus. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved, Lord. Your word help us to know how to live in this world, being saved from the power of sin in our lives. And one day we look with great hope. Hope, assurance. Assurance. I like what Whitney said. Trust. Great trust. One day we shall be saved from the very presence. Lord, we praise you. We know that this is the work you have done, Jesus on the cross. Lord, if there be any here among us who have not yet taken hold of the salvation you offer, Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart. Draw them again to the cross. Help anyone here who would share with them the truth of trusting in Christ to save you. And Lord, I pray this week you would put these things on our mind, Lord, when we interface with our government. Always to recognize the government is from you. Be in subjection, not to be opposed to your order. To be attitudes toward our neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Lord. Fill that law with our neighbors. Lord, you've taught us the neighbor is not the person living next door, it's everyone you bring near to us. And finally, the armor of light. Help us with that armor of light today, each moment of the day, to be wearing our armor tightly, that armor of light. We thank you now. Pray that you bless us this week. We thank you in Jesus.